All right, welcome to the first of its kind, world-changing manufacturers network. Lisa Ryan has her ears to the ground and her heart in the game. Get ongoing education and new connections right here with Lisa and the manufacturers network. Buckle your seat, listen, and spread the word. Here's Lisa.
Hey, it's Lisa Ryan, and welcome to the Manufacturers Network podcast. I'm really excited to introduce our guest today, Roger Atkins. Roger is president of the National Tooling and Machining Association. He's been president of NTMA since January of 2020, after having been an NTM member for most of his career. He has dedicated decades of service to the organization and to the manufacturing industry at large. So, Roger, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lisa. Great to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
So share with us a little bit about your background and what led you to doing what you do with NTMA.
Well, that's a great question. Sometimes I wonder the same thing, but reality is I was born and raised in the manufacturing business. My dad had a machine shop. When I was a kid, we would go to the shop, would make work on mini bikes and go-karts and make deer stands and anything we could do in the shop. And of course, and then that included sweeping the shop floor and cleaning it up for my dad. Little did I think early in my career, I wouldn't say that manufacturing was going to be my calling in life. And I went to college, I got a business degree. And then my senior year of college, I was really looking to go somewhere else. And my dad called me one day and he had an opportunity in his company. And he said, "Hey, have you thought about coming to work here at the shop?" My dad's philosophy was, we had all worked in the shop. He didn't believe that any me or my brothers owed it to him to run his company. He just thought we should know what he does. And he asked us to work summers so that we would know what he did in the event that we were interested. And at the time, it wasn't my calling, I didn't think. And then he called me one day and again had a position open. I said, "I'll interview for the position if I'm not your son." And I said, "If it works out." And honestly, the rest is history. I went to work in manufacturing. I fell in love with manufacturing. I worked for my dad for the next 10 years. And then we got hammered in the oil and gas industry, being out of the greater Houston area. And one evening, my dad and I, our company had been devastated by the oil and gas. And I just felt like one of us needed to go, and this was his company. So I chose to walk out of the company, and we decided that together. So it was because we wanted to respect our relationship and we never wanted to jeopardize the relationship. So I stepped off and then I stayed out a year because everybody knew my dad in the greater Houston area. So I taught school at the college, junior college. I taught business classes at the college. And then a year later, I went to work for one of our large competitors who was one of the first guys my dad introduced me to at an NTMA meeting. So my dad introduced me to NTMA when I first started. And so I was a part of that. But the first guy he introduced me to was the guy I eventually went to work for. And again, I would say the rest is history. My entire career, I've worked for an NTMA member or was an NTMA member in manufacturing. So I fell in love with manufacturing. I'm still in love with it. And I always say that if you can walk in a shop and not be overwhelmed and impressed by what we do, the day you quit being impressed with what manufacturing does, you need to walk out. You need to call it a day. You need to be finished, because there's never a shop that I don't go through that I'm not overwhelmed by what they take a piece of steel or aluminum and make it into. I continue to be impressed every day.
Wow, that's awesome. So what led you after your career? You've been a member of NTMA for most of your career. So what motivated you to continue the relationship and be president of the organization?
Maybe I drew the short straw. I'm not quite sure, Lisa, but I will tell you that when I first started with my dad, the first month, he said, "I'm going to take you to a meeting and I'm going to introduce you to people that will teach you more about manufacturing than I'll ever be able to teach you by myself." And that was my first NTMA meeting. And if my dad ever said one thing true, that was it. I learned manufacturing from NTMA members, fellow competitors, guys that took me under their wings and really taught me the business side of manufacturing. My dad taught me the manufacturing side of it. And so I would say that NTMA, my dad was a great machinist, but he wasn't a good businessman. My dad went to his grave would tell anybody that it was his NTMA friends and colleagues that taught him how to run a business. He knew how to make complex parts, but he didn't really know how to run a business. He would say it was his NTMA friends that taught him how to do that. And I would tell you, it was the NTMA people who invested time and energy in me. And it's where I learned how to, I learned everything that really I learned about manufacturing from my dad and fellow NTMA members in the Houston chapter of NTMA, as well as going to national meetings and meeting people across the country. And I had a heart for NTMA. I saw what it did to our company, how it improved our company. It made our company much stronger. When we had problems, we could go to an NTMA friend and they would help us solve the problem. We shared work amongst each other. When you were in trouble, you had somebody could go that understand your problems and could understand, and could not, they could understand, they could, you could talk shop with. It's hard to find somebody to talk shop with. Outside of the business, right, you go home, sometimes it's not your husband, wife, it's not your brother, sister, it's not your neighbor, it's not your priest or your pastor. Most people can't talk shop. But when you get in around other shop people, you immediately go into a relationship, talking shop. And that's where we learned how to run our company. And that's what made our company successful. And I will tell you that the four NTMA companies I worked for, we were all better because of our involvement in NTMA. And so therefore, I had a heart for NTMA. And with the opportunity to come to, we needed a president. It just felt like a calling that this would maybe a way to end my career. And so I honestly couldn't find myself in a more rewarding place today is to be president of NTMA and be able to give back to the industry for two generations of my family, which this industry has been good to.
Right. For people who aren't familiar with NTMA, share a little bit about the organization, your mission, your goals, maybe how you're really helping to support manufacturers.
Yeah, Lisa, NTMA is an association of about 1,000 small to medium-sized entrepreneurial-based privately held businesses, which means machine shops from east, west, north, south in the U.S. Our members, like most small businesses, small manufacturers, most of them are less than 100 people. We have some smaller ones, and we have some much larger than 100, but I did some work. 82% of our members are less than 50. 14% are less than 100 and 4% are greater than 100. And that really aligns right with the metalworking companies across America, which says 96% are less than 100, 92 are less than 50, and 80% are less than 20. And what's amazing numbers, 44% of manufacturers in the United States are less than 5.
Wow.
And so I always tell NTMA members and all small businesses, never apologize for your size. We may be small, but we're mighty. And the parts we make send rockets to the moon. They send airplanes in the sky. They make successful surgeries. They send things to the ocean's floor. And that's all small to medium-sized businesses that do that. And NTMA is a place we can come together. NTMA provides a lot of benefits from collaborative buying, consolidated buying, and these kind of things. But the number one reason people join NTMA, and we do this survey every year, they join because of networking. They want to be around other shops, knowing that shop talk, where can you go for shop talk? And then the second is they come to NTMA for workforce development training. And the third one is benefits. And we think that, so to me, benefits are icing on the cake for NTMA members. It is the networking. It's coming together, sharing our successes, our failures, and our needs, and our challenges. And the reality is our challenges are the same. And so, NTMA, our mission is to engage U.S. precision manufacturing companies, ensuring a robust and sustainable supply chain to support our nation's economy, defense, and citizens. And I believe that's what small businesses are. We are definitely the backbone of U.S. manufacturing. And what we say, our brand promise is we're member owned, we're member led, and driven for manufacturers to learn, share, and prosper. That's why to be an NTMA member, be a part of a group that together, because I believe the challenge is a lot of people want us to be in, we're individualized. We just are worried about our company. But in today's time, all manufacturers need to be successful. We need to join together because the reality is we really do control U.S. manufacturing, but because our customers and the government keeps us thinking that we're individuals and we make no difference because we're little shops across America. When those little shops bind together, all of a sudden we find out we're not the little guy in the game, that we play a huge role of U.S. manufacturing. I would just tell anybody, being part of a manufacturing community. Don't go it alone. As I tell people, we try to, at National, we try to take care of the problems outside the four walls of your company, the challenges that come from you from the outside. And our goal is to allow you to work on the inside the four walls of your company to make the complex parts and produce the products and stuff that you're making inside. And let us try to fight the challenges that come from the outside the four walls of your company.
Yeah. And from a standpoint of having worked on several occasions with NTMA, I know when we did the Emerging Leaders one, just the passion with the people coming into the industry. And I always enjoy, especially going to some of the younger folks in the room, to say, what led you to doing what you're doing? Why did you choose manufacturing out of all the other things you could have done? And they just ooze excitement and enthusiasm. And like you said, being around people that they can talk shop with, that understand the day-to-day interaction, that's just really a magical part. And you think about that with everybody's competitors, and yet they're friends and they know their families and they send business to each other. And so it really creates that community that we're all looking for.
Yeah, it is a trusted community. And that's what I say. We're friendly competitors, but it's a trusted and respected community for each other. And that's really what we work towards. I think you make a good point on the emerging leaders, Lisa. What I find is today, these young people coming into manufacturing, they're really more interested than I think ever before in where the parts go that we manufacture. Before, when I grew up in the industry, we were just making parts. Most of the time, we didn't even know where the parts were going to be used at. Today, this younger generation, they want to know where it is. They want to know that the part that they're making is going to send a rocket into space. They want to know that the part they're making is going to make an airplane that they fly on fly. And we had a company in Dayton, Ohio that made parts for the Mars Land Rover. The day that Land Rover landed on Mars, they shut down their company, bought a big screen TV, and everybody watched it land on Mars.
Wow.
Because they made parts. And so one of the big focuses that Gillen Young, our chairman, is looking at this year is our focus is really telling our story. How do we do a better job of telling the manufacturing story of what we do and what we produce? And the things that just appear on the Walmart shelf would not be there if it wasn't for small to medium businesses creating these parts. And people to understand that nothing you touch, anything you touch, there was a manufacturer involved at some part in time in the process, regardless of what it is. You can say it's paper. I guarantee you, a manufacturing company made the paper machine. So along the line, manufacturing has touched everything in our daily lives. And what we as an industry have done is really a poor job to tell our story. So Gillen's focus this year is how do we tell our story and being more effective in telling our story to America, and that people understand where these parts come from and who makes them, and really get the appreciation. And I'd love for them for small businesses to get the recognition they deserve in our nation's economy.
Yeah, really, you bring that up with the younger people wanting to know where the parts go. I think one of my favorite conversations when we were at Emerging Leaders was with a young woman who was with a company that made needles. And she was talking about the 3-foot-long needle, which I did not want to hear anything about because I couldn't even imagine it. But her whole thing was, we're not making needles, we're helping people with cancer. She was so passionate about it. And you're so right, because I think that in changing the conversation and reminding people, if we want to attract more people to manufacturing, it is in telling the story. It is in shutting down the plant and watching the Mars rover because you know that you helped that happen. It is telling people, well, you're not just making a needle, you're helping people with cancer. You're doing these things. And it was just such a great, and that was just one of many of the stories. But I have that vision of that 3-foot needle. And I tell you, that woman wasn't very much taller than that needle.
I remember that. And that's right. Really, small to medium-sized people, manufacturers, they change the world. They impact the world. And we have to do a better job at telling our story for people to understand the role we play. and which will draw that generation to come, because this generation is very much more philanthropic than we ever thought about being in our younger lives. They want to make a difference in their community, making a difference in creating things for surgeries, for things to fly, things to happen. They want to be a part of changing the world. And I think we have to do a better job to show them that we truly are changing the world, and manufacturing is where that happens.
Yeah. So what are some of the challenges that you're seeing in the manufacturing industry with your members? And what are some of the things that maybe NTMA is helping to do to address those challenges?
I travel all over the country, Lisa, and I can't, when we start down that road, the first thing comes is workforce, a skilled workforce, trying to get more people into the industry. And I don't care where you're at, workforce seems to be. And again, I think we've haven't reaped what we've had and sown, the idea that manufacturing really does change the world, and it is really an opportunity. And so we're big on workforce development and training, how we draw people into the industry, how you can be trained in the industry. Most manufacturers today, they're paying kids training costs. And so kids, and I say kids, I don't mean young kids. I just mean people younger than me, which is about everybody. But their careers are being financed by people who need them. And so they're getting an education without having college debt, those kind of things. And I'm a proud college graduate, but I know today that drawing people and showing them there's another career to go down, and the manufacturing, and show them it's a great place to be, and you can make the monies to have a great career financially for yourself and for your family. But that's one of the big challenges, is that the other thing that really we fight against all the time are government regulations that really harm small to medium-sized manufacturers. Everything in Washington seems to be a political football, and much of that political football tends to revolve around small to medium-sized manufacturers. Most recently, the R&D taxes on small businesses that really affect a small business anywhere from $250,000 to $1 million, because the lack inability to write things off and to write their investments off and their R&D expenses off. And it stopped a couple of years ago, and they've used it as a political football where both sides agree it's great and small business needs it, but we're going to use it as a political football to get something else we need. We're closer than we've been in recent times of maybe getting that passed, but we're still working on it. But it's just those kind of regulations that really harm small to medium manufacturers. We have a temperature rule that they're going to say if it's above 80 degrees, you got to create all of this kind of support, because if your company's greater than 80 degrees, there's just things that just add cost. To small businesses. So advocacy is a big thing that we can do for our members on a consolidated basis. Again, while they're working on their businesses and in their businesses, we can work on things that affect their businesses. But those are two really big ones. I think the work is, we're a little, presidential election years always put people in a little of a quandary. Should we act? Should we not act? Being our customers, maybe we're going to have administration change. We don't. All of that. Sorry, everybody's in limbo in an election year. And I think that does affect small to medium-sized manufacturers until a decision's made of what direction we're going to go as a nation politically. So that doesn't help anything, I don't think. But for the most part, our industry's been devastated. So there's less manufacturers today, which again, just stresses the importance of how important it is that all manufacturers today be successful. We need to help each other be successful, because the U.S. manufacturing, U.S. as an economy, needs U.S. manufacturing. And for us to be successful, we need everybody to be successful, because there's not enough of us for some of us to be successful and some of us not be successful. Today, we've been skinnied down so much that it's dependent on all of us to be successful. And I'm proud to say NTMA members across the United States, I talk to them on how they're helping other shops become more successful. Friendly competitors, NTMA members or non-NTMA members, people in their community, they're trying to help become better at manufacturing, because realizing that we need each of us to be successful for U.S. manufacturing to be successful.
So what do you envision as far as the the future of manufacturing? What are you seeing as far as any key trends or technologies that are shaping the future?
Lisa, my wife is glad that I can't go back and be 35 or 40 years old, or I would be in manufacturing with both feet. I think it's a great place to be. I think if I was a young person, I think the next 5 to 10 years is a great time to be in manufacturing. I would be all over it. I think the opportunities, you just got to look around the world. We live in a world of turmoil today. We have found that reshoring, what seemed to make a lot of sense about reshoring and sending product out of the United States to overseas, I would ask somebody, how's that worked for you since the pandemic? I think a lot of the money that was saved prior to the pandemic was probably lost in the 2 years of the pandemic. Probably 10 years of savings was probably lost in 2 years of the pandemic. Now you're starting to see that product wanting to become more localized. I think you're seeing a reshoring initiative. Work is coming back to the United States. And I think for the U.S., the challenge for us U.S. manufacturers is we do have to reduce our cost, not reduce our price, but we got to figure out ways to reduce our cost. And it's not 40% like everybody wants. We need to reduce our cost probably 10 to 15%, and probably closer to 15% to be competitive globally. But companies are realizing what seemed to be a savings of going offshore has maybe cost them money. How do we reshore more locally? How do we really regionalize our supply chain? How do we reduce that supply chain, things that happen on our coast when the ships can't get in with product? And so I think you're going to see a continued reshoring opportunity that comes our way. I think manufacturing at large, the demand is going to continue, and it's really going to be up to us if we can handle it or not. And for that reshoring opportunity, the monkey's on manufacturing's back. We got to figure out a way to reduce our costs. And when you look at that, when you have a workforce challenge, that means you got to figure out how to do more work with the same number of people. And really, the solution of that is productivity and automation and robotics. Right. You got to figure out ways that you can have some type of automation, allow a person to take some work off of a person so that you can take that person and let them do something that can't be automated. It's not about reducing your workforce due to automation. It's about enhancing your workforce. If we could find 10 or 15% of our work we could automate within our company, that gives us 10 to 15% more labor that we can put to other things that we can't do. Again, it's not about losing your job. It's about doing things that can't be automated within your company, which at the end of the day would allow us to ship more product with the same number of people and be much more productive. And so I think those that proactive companies that are going down that journey of automation, whatever that journey may look like of automation, and then there's companies that aren't going to do it. And the reality is you're either going to change or die.
Right.
That's the cold, hard reality of manufacturing. It is moving quickly and we have to move with it. One thing NTMA brings to the table for members is we have these close relationships with machine tool builders, tooling people in the industry, become very good relationships with NTMA and allows a small business person that same relationship that large companies have with these builders. And so we have a very close knit network with the builders, which means every member of NTMA, small or large, can have that same personal relationship with them. And then the consolidated spend, something I'm extremely excited about is NTMA is fixing to announce that we're going to have an exclusive tooling partner. Tooling is one of the largest expenses of a machine shop. It runs anywhere from 3 to 7% of your total revenue is on expendable tooling. NTMA is within a matter of weeks of announcing an exclusive tooling program that will allow a small business to get the same price as a large business because we're going to consolidate our spend together. It's an exciting thing. It's going to be something that NTMA has never been able to bring to our members, but it's about helping them reduce their cost and reducing their cost without them reducing their price. That's not what it's about. It's about reducing the cost of your company, which allows you then to reduce your price and it does, and it protects your profits, because you can't be in business without profits. And to lower your price only takes out of your profit. So our goal at NTMA is help people reduce their cost. And so that this tooling program is going to be, I think it's going to be one of the greatest things NTMA has ever brought its members.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm extremely excited about that.
Yeah, and I think about also when you talk about automation and it not replacing jobs, I also believe that it is a great recruiting tool. Because if you have somebody who's younger, who works into the plant, and they see some cool robots, and they see that there's some automation and some opportunities for them to play with technology, it makes it a much more favorable place for them to work versus going in there and looking at a shop that still has all the equipment from the 1940s and 50s, yeah, where, you know, it goes along with that dark, dirty, dangerous stigma of manufacturing that automation is helping to turn around, and just having that conversation. And like you said, giving people the opportunity, instead of doing that grunt work that could easily be automated, to give them opportunities to use more of their creativity, their innovation, to help the company move forward.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Lisa. The reality is, manufacturing is a cool place to be. You just got to show, you got to tell your story, and you got to be able to show people. There's shops in America today that are light, bright, and clean. And I tell people, there's shops I go in across America, they're probably cleaner than our homes.
I know.
And that dark, dingy thing that people, that is really a myth for the most part.
Right.
Was that the case? Yes. But that era is over. Now, we have some that are slower to convert to automation and upgrading. But let me tell you what, the shops of today really are something that most people don't even realize. They drive by these companies every day and don't realize what's happening inside that company. And what is a great deal is Manufacturing Day, that we open our shops and let people come in from the community, from the schools, to see what's going on. And that's been a huge success. You know, that's a NAM initiative that really manufacturing has embraced. And I know NTMA members across America, it's a day they really got it more in a day. Now they do it sort of the whole month of October. But because it's hard to plan just one day. But being able to open their shops and let people come in and see what they do. People used to say, if you can convince the parents, it's not about convincing the kids, it's about convincing the parents. And one guy stopped and said, no, you're wrong. And we're all like, what do you mean? And he goes, it's not about convincing the parents, it's about convincing the mother. And if you can convince the mother that manufacturing is a good place to be, that's where you win. And I think that's probably true. I love the mother who takes care of her chicks and takes care of the nest. And that, I thought that was probably a pretty true statement, if you convince the mothers. But let's get the mothers and dads into these manufacturing companies and see what happens, because there's men and women that are grown, that are the parents, that go to their job and hate their jobs every day. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine going to a job that I hated every day. You're seeing more and more people get into manufacturing out of the service related industries that just hated their jobs. And mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I've been in manufacturing my whole career, and I'm proud to say I've loved every job I've ever had. I loved it. I love coming to work every day. Am I frustrated? Yeah, I'm frustrated. Is it challenging every day? But I've loved manufacturing my entire career. And I feel so fortunate when I see those percentages that 80% of the men go to work daily hate their jobs. I'm telling you what, manufacturing could be an answer to those men and women that are in jobs that don't like it. And we're trying to show them there's opportunities. You're seeing a lot of people out of the financial services business come into manufacturing that are starting to buy manufacturing companies and run manufacturing companies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting thing. I just think if we tell our story, people are going to see the opportunities that are there, both to own a company or maybe to change careers and be in a company. And that doesn't always mean being a machinist. There's a lot of roles within a manufacturing company that people play.
So as we're getting to the end of our time together, is there anything else that you either wish that I would have asked you or that you want to share with our listeners about some of the things that you're doing or that NTMA is doing that they should be aware of?
Lisa, there's probably a lot of questions I'm glad you didn't ask, but I don't know of any that I wish you had asked. I would just say this for people that are listening. This is what I tell some people. If you're in manufacturing, where do you go? With your questions after Google? Where do you go for benchmarking information after Google? Where do you go for consolidated spend programs? Where do you go for face-to-face discussions about shop talk? Where do you go after Google about strategic ideas and direction? My point is, NTMA is that community that you can go to. This is where Google can give you so much, but Google can tell you about marriage. But until you're married, you really don't know anything about marriage. Well, it's sort of like manufacturing. You can Google manufacturing, but it's not until you talk to somebody and get into manufacturing do you really find out what it is. So I'm saying after Google, if you're in manufacturing, after Google, NTMA is your answer. And I would invite any small to medium-sized manufacturer that's not part of our manufacturing community to be it, because we're stronger together. And I always tell people, I'm not an association guy. I'm a member guy, but I'm running an association. I don't want to be a big association to be big. I want to be a big association to have greater impact in our nation's economy. And that we can have a seat at the table of what we do for U.S. manufacturers, what U.S. manufacturers do. And that's really what I'm looking for. I want us to join together to have, there's 24,000 shops with NAICS codes that could be an NTMA member, and we have 1,000. If we went to Washington and we said we have 15,000 members, all of a sudden we're going to be listened to. We're going to be heard. And our needs and our challenges are going to be addressed. And until we come together as a group, it's going to continue to be piecemeal to us along the way. My goal is to try to have a greater impact, to make running a small to medium-sized business an easier challenge and allow them to change America and change the world with the products they make. And with that, Lisa, I'd say thank you.
Oh, absolutely. So if people did want to continue the conversation with you or learn more about NTMA, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, it would be go to ntma.org. And if you ever want, if you can come to me direct, that's ratkins, ratkins, at ntma.org. And feel free to email me or go to our website again, ntma.org, and find out more about the things we have. We have conferences, and that's where we come together and just have shop talk, really. But I would invite anybody interested to please contact us.
Awesome. Well, Roger, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. Thanks for joining me.
Lisa, I appreciate it. I just want to tell the world here that Lisa is a great partner, has had a great influence on helping small businesses, speaking and being a part of our conferences and investing in our people, because that's a big part of what we do. We try to invest in our people, and we have training cohorts, and Lisa's been a part of training people and has played a huge role in helping companies be better. And Lisa, I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you again for tuning in. I'm Lisa Ryan, and this is the Manufacturers Network Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Manufacturers Network Podcast. Do me a favor and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues so we can grow this network and connect more fantastic folks just like you. You can either send your buddies to the website at manufacturers-network.com or share the Manufacturers Network podcast on your LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you and your industry friends hang out. The bigger and faster we grow the network, the stronger and deeper the community we'll all have. Thanks again, and I appreciate you.